We're glad you have joined us today on the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. We believe you will hear a message that will minister to you and encourage you in your walk with Christ. Let's listen now to the message.
I want to welcome you once again to Kids Takeover Service. I don't think I introduced myself earlier. If I didn't, most of you know me, but I do want to introduce myself. I'm Rachel Warren. I'm the kids pastor here. I do want to warn you, don't memorize that last name because it's getting ready to change here in a couple months. I'm going to be taking that man right there on the back row's last name. He loves attention. I am the kids pastor here at CMC. I've been doing this for several years, and I just want to say how honored I am to be standing here and how special it is for us that we get to share with you a little bit of what we do every single week with you tonight. I want to start out by having you all help me honor some very special, very important people. If you are a CM Kids staff member, will you please stand up? A lot of times, I get the appreciation and the accolade. Nope, stay standing. I didn't tell you to sit down. A lot of times I get the appreciation and the accolades because I'm the kids pastor and I'm the one that's leading the whole outfit. But we could not do what we do each week without these individuals right here. They are rock stars. They serve selflessly. They love big. And most importantly, they shine Jesus' light. My CM Kids staff, I'm trying not to cry. Publicly, I want to thank you. We have seen salvations, growth, change, breakthrough in our kids because of your dedication to serving and leading the youngest of our flock. And this isn't a Sunday and Wednesday responsibility for you only. It is every day. You are leading, encouraging, and praying for them. We have the best team. And I know that if you're a leader in this room, you think you have the best team. But you have a very close second best team because CM Kids is the best team. Thank you from the bottom of my heart and from the bottom of every single person in this room's heart that has children in our program. You guys are awesome and we love you. Thank you. Will you get my bottle? I was really going to try not to, but here we are. It's okay. Okay. So as I was preparing for this message, I really had a challenge. I didn't want to miss anybody in this room. So I asked God to help me make this sermon one that all ages in this room could both learn and receive from. I don't want to speak so much on the kids' level that you walk away from tonight going, yeah, that was cute. I mean, I do want you to think that because they're adorable. But I do want you to walk away from the message having something applicable to your life that you can use. But I also don't want to be so much on your level that our kids check out and don't get anything. So tonight, my title is When I Was a Child. And it comes from the verse in 1 Corinthians 13:11. It says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. We've heard this verse a lot. I mean, if you've been in church any amount of time, you've heard this verse. But then in Proverbs 22:6, we read, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I actually have a funny story on this particular verse on Proverbs 22:6 before I continue. I was talking about this verse in morning assembly the other day, and you know how when you're trying to teach you, especially with children, at least I do this, I'll try to get them to finish the sentence. Or you know, if you're teaching them something, you try to, okay, you start it, and then you try to get them to finish the sentence. And so I had started with, to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not. And I waited for the kids, and sweet Marley Snellgrove goes, die, he will die. Yes, eventually he shall. When he is old, he will die. But this verse and what we're talking about tonight, Proverbs 22:6, we read, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." That sounds a little contradictory to some of you, doesn't it? Especially some of my little friends in the room, okay? One verse says to leave childish ways, and the other one says to cling to them. So what does that mean? Good thing you asked, because I'm going to explain. 1 Corinthians, the First Corinthians verse is on maturing. It's putting away childishness and then acting, talking, thinking, and reasoning in a mature way. And in this passage, Paul is using a physical truth to explain a spiritual one. And you know, some of us really need those visual and mental aids to understand things. And it's the whole reason that Jesus used parables so much when he was teaching. So we need that visual aid to help us, okay? But the thing is that we have to go through childhood to get to adulthood. There has to be a season of learning. There has to be a period of training, of growth. And that is physical and spiritual, okay? That's where the verse from Proverbs 22:6 comes in. It is discussing that period of growth, training, and learning. And that season of growth and training and learning, it can be really difficult at times for everyone involved. Because kids, I know it's really hard sometimes to do what your parents have asked you to do, isn't it? Eli's like, yes, it is. Okay? We don't always understand why. Sometimes we don't really want to know why. That they make us do things sometimes, or it just doesn't sound fun, or it's not what we want to do, and it's no fun at all when we have to deal with the consequences of what we've done, is it? On the flip side, as a parent or a teacher or a leader or a grandparent, it's really hard for us at times too, because why can't they just do what we asked them to do the first time? And why can't they do it without asking a ton of questions first? It's hard when we have to, also hard when we have to get onto them and follow through on the discipline and consequences that we told them we were going to implement beforehand. But regardless of where you fall in that, we can't resent the process of growing up because it's necessary. We never get to maturity without going through that process. At CMA, our juniors and seniors take turns doing morning assembly for our kindergarten through sixth grade students. And a couple weeks ago, Jolie Moody was speaking to them, and she made a comment that as I was praying and preparing for this message, it just really stuck with me. She said, we don't have stories written in the Bible. We don't have stories written about the childhoods of many of those people that we read, of the Bible characters that we read about. We don't have stories of their childhood or how they were raised. We have some, but not all. But you can tell a little about those people and their childhoods based on the response that they had to God. She specifically mentioned Mary. Mary could not have had the response to God that she had without having a knowledge of him and his character, without understanding obedience and submission, and without trusting him completely. And those were things that had to be taught to her as a child, especially given that she was basically a child when she was visited by the angel and agreed to carry the Son of God. That is what Proverbs 22:6 is all about. Train them up, teach them, so when they're older, they don't depart from it, and they hold fast to that, and they cling to it. And for you kids in the room, what that means is to let yourself be trained, be teachable, be someone who can receive from the people who are speaking into your life. We can leave behind childish ways and behaviors while taking the truths we have learned as a child with us and leaving the childishness behind. It's like I said earlier with the building blocks. I'm not staying on this level. I'm growing, I'm going up, but I have a solid foundation to build upon. Many of you know my story, and my testimony isn't crazy in the world sense. It probably doesn't sound all that exciting to some, but it's the story that I want my kids to have. It's the story I want for all of you. I grew up in church. I've been poured into, not just by my parents, but by my pastors, by my Sunday school teachers, by kids' church leaders, by door greeters, by VBS volunteers, by my small groups, by my life groups, by godly men and women in the church. I've been corrected, I've been prayed over, I've been prayed for, and I've been taught. I went to high school at CMA, where I was taught, corrected, helped, and loved. After I graduated, I didn't leave church. I stayed. I didn't go off as a prodigal and try to see what I'd been missing all those years. Now, let me clarify. I'm not saying that everyone who leaves CMC is a prodigal. We've had lots of people that have not stayed at this church and have gone on and remained faithful parts of the body of Christ, macro. But just like the catechism you learned a few minutes ago, there are things that I learned as a child and a young person that I didn't understand completely then, but I understand now. And there are things that are ingrained into me, and it has made my life so much better. And as I look back, I'm so thankful that someone took the time to put those into me. We hear Pastor Ashley talk about it a lot, and it's what I've heard him say for years and years and years, is that the church and the home have to echo each other. They have to be in agreement. And thankfully, because of that, my mom and my leaders at church were saying the same things to me. And because of that, there are lots of things I never had to battle because the main voices in my life were echoing each other. I want to share just a few of the many things I learned. I could go forever talking about the things that I've learned growing up in church, but under godly leadership. But I'm going to just talk about a few of the things that I learned as a child that I still benefit from today. And what I love is that many of the things that I'm getting ready to tell you are being taught to our kids here at CMC. Through you as parents, but also through us at CM Kids. The first one is this. You are who you hang around. I've heard this phrase for several years, and if you've been attending here at CMC for any length of time, you may have heard it too. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." Proverbs 13:20 says, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." The people you spend time with, especially your close friends, can shape your thoughts, behaviors, and your values. You're more likely to adopt attitudes and habits that are common in your group. Your beliefs, habits, and your overall character are heavily influenced by the people that you associate with. This isn't saying that we should only ever spend time with Christians. Otherwise, how do we reach the world for Christ? I'm not saying that we should never hang out with people that are more immature. And I'm also not saying that we should never hang out with people that are more immature than us, because we should always be pouring what God has taught us into others that have not learned what we've learned. What this means is that the people that we spend the most time with, the ones that we allow to influence us, we have to ask ourselves, are they corrupting our character? Are they producing wisdom or foolishness in us? Proverbs 27:17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend." This is twofold. Are the people around you the most? Are they sharpening you? Are they bringing you closer to God and the things that he loves? But we must also ask ourselves this. Am I that kind of person? Am I sharpening those around me? When people hang around me, am I taking them closer to the Lord or farther away? Am I someone who causes those around me to be corrupted or suffer harm? Are they better for being in my presence? And young people, I want you to listen to me. And I'm not just saying, when I say young people, I am directing it mostly towards kids' church, but also there's young people in this in the congregation tonight that aren't sitting up here in the first three rows. And I want you to listen too. Your parents can spot a person that is not a good influence on you long before you can. So when they say something about that, maybe, before you launch into a huge defense, take a step back and ask yourself if there's any truth in what they're saying. Because I can think of some situations specifically with friends where my mom was right, and I'm either really glad I listened to her, or I'm really regretting that I didn't. Did you hear me say that, Mom? You were right. I'm saying it publicly in front of everyone. Okay? It is very important who we choose to associate with and who we are spending our time around. If I say that when I'm teaching kids, especially at school, I'll be like, okay, are you spurring each other on to good works? Are you guys making each other better? Are you bringing each other closer to God? Because if you're not, either need to fix something or maybe you need to go hang out with somebody else, because this is not causing good things, okay? The second thing that I'm going to talk about, second thing that I was taught from a young age that is really important, is one that you might want to prepare your toes for. Maybe not. I don't know. The second one, though, is tithing. Tithing has never been a question for me. As soon as I started making any money, 10% of it went to tithe every single time. Deuteronomy 26, 1 through 2 says, when you enter the land your Lord your God is giving you as a special possession and you have conquered it and settled there, put some of the first produce from each group you harvest into a basket and bring it to the designated place of worship, the place the Lord your God chooses for his name to be honored. When it says the land the Lord your God is giving you, that is your home. That's the place you work. And the Bible talks about first produce. Well, our culture has shifted a little from bringing crops to the place of worship. I haven't recently seen anybody bring any of their summer vegetables and stick it in the offering baskets. The truth and principle of that is still true today, though. What we produce with our labor is money. And we are supposed to give part of that to the Lord. Proverbs 3, 9 through 10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. Again, produce and honoring the Lord with it. This one also issues a promise. When you do what God says, you get God's results. If you honor the Lord with your wealth, your money, he will bless your harvest. Says that it will be overflowing. Overflowing means more than you are prepared to handle, more than you are expecting. Overflowing. Malachi 3, 8 through 12, and we read this a lot when we're doing tithe and offering time at church. Should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You have cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. You are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Then all nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord of heaven's armies. We don't just do this for what it produces in us, but there is a blessing on obeying the Lord in this principle. I want all of my life for people to be able to look and say, she has abundance. So that when they ask why, first of all, because I want to be able to share that abundance with people who are in need, but secondly, so that I can use that blessing to point others to Christ. I'm walking in blessing because I follow the Lord and I do what he says and I'm obedient. As a child, it's just what we did. I didn't understand why. I don't even know how much we were putting in. It's just what we did every single week. As an adult, I see the blessing of it. Because God is faithful. When we choose to walk in obedience, he will provide for our every need. Want to tell a quick story on this principle. Every week we take tithe and offering at church. And the kids get rewards. We have a little punch card. And every time that they bring a tithe and offering, they get a punch on their punch card. When they fill the punch card out, they get to pick out a, you know, super awesome prize from our prize box. And it's, we're not in there begging for, you know, their money. We're trying to implement something in their minds of that is you bring tithe and offering to the church. And so most of the time, though, what we're getting is pennies, maybe a dollar, sometimes a $5 bill. Like, that's normally the most that we see. But it's mostly pennies, quarters, like change. Mostly because it's what you have in your pocket when you bring your kid to kids' church. And we know that. No, just kidding. We get it. Okay? Generally, every night we get a couple dollars total because most kids just bring just a little bit. And that's fine. We're not sitting here trying to have them bring in a ton of money. We're just trying to implement something for them to, we're trying to teach them something. But one night as we were getting ready to pray over tithe, I watched as the bucket came forward, because we always have Mr. Kelly brings the bucket forward. One of the kids holds it, and then another child will pray over the tithe and offering. And as the bucket was coming up towards the front, I watch one of our young men pull something out of his pocket, and I see it, and put it in the tithe bucket. And it's a $100 bill. And I was like, that is super sweet. I really hope his parents know that he's doing that. I don't know that they're going to be happy if they know that he put a $100 bill in the kids' tithe and offering. So I made a point at the end of the night by going and talking to his parents afterwards and making sure that they were both aware that he had done that. And both of them assured me that they knew what was going on. And then proceeded to tell me, and just for you guys to know, I didn't mention his name, I meant to. It's James Marsh. Both assured me that he knew what was going on and then proceeded to tell me that he was fundraising for racing he's doing this year, and someone blessed him with $1,000 for fundraising purposes. And when James got home, he told his parents that he was setting aside 10% so he could pay tithe on the increase that was brought into his life. Now, I just announced it to the entire church. James tried to hide it because he wasn't letting his left hand know what his right hand was doing. So he did everything right. But I just wanted to use that as an example. That is what we're trying to teach our children, is that that's the first thought. When there's an increase, I'm honoring the Lord with my money. So the next one is this. Next point, third point, correction. I tell our kids all the time this phrase. Correction is not rejection, it's affection. And Proverbs actually has a lot to say about receiving correction. Proverbs 3:11-12 says, "My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline and don't be upset when he corrects you. For the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights." When I was younger, we used to read a chapter of Proverbs a day. And on the 12th, we would read Proverbs 12. On the 31st, we'd read Proverbs 31. And on this particular one that I'm getting ready to read, we would fight over it, the first verse, because in Proverbs 12:1, in that first verse of Proverbs 12, it has the word stupid in it. And that was not a word we were allowed to use unless it was written in the Word of God, and then Mom was okay with it. And so we'd always fight over it. That's just a, you know, rabbit trail funny thing. But Proverbs 12:1 says, "To learn, you must love discipline. It is stupid to hate correction." And then Proverbs 15:31-32 says, "If you listen to constructive criticism, you will be at home among the wise. If you reject discipline, you only harm yourself. But if you listen to correction, you grow in understanding." This is one of the hardest lessons to learn because our pride doesn't want to do this naturally. But the earlier you learn how to receive correction from people that are over you and people that are well-intentioned, it's because they love you. I mean, I tell the kids all the time, when I'm having to correct you, it is not because I dislike you. It's actually because I love you a whole lot. I love you enough to not let you act that way. Because it's not fun for me to do correcting. But I love you more than I don't want to be in that position. Okay? It's tempting to get offended because it doesn't feel good in the moment. But if we start to view correction the way the Bible says to, it says we will become wise. And that correction or discipline is a sign of God's love for us. It's also a sign of when, especially for our young people, when your parents are correcting you or your teachers are correcting you, grandparents, it is because they love you. They love you enough to say something, and they love you enough to help you know what's right. Okay? We talked about this with the kids last week. I said, have any of you ever been in Walmart and watched a kid just throw an absolute hissy fit in the floor and then been like, I'm really glad my parents don't let me act like that? Because I have done that countless times. I've looked at my mom going, thank you for spanking me. I appreciate you not letting me act like that. Because I don't want to look like that fool over there. All right? The next one is offense. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. And Proverbs 19:11 says, sensible people control their temper. They earn respect by overlooking wrongs. Opportunity to become offended will come. Pastor Ashley preached a powerful sermon on the story of Paul and the snake bite a while ago. But he talked about how a lot of times we get bit in the very area where we're trying to serve and we're trying to help other people in. But we must walk in forgiveness and in the forgiveness that Jesus walks in toward us. One of my favorite sayings is from that I've learned with offense and that I've adopted into my own saying that I say all the time is from Hetty Lou Brooks, which is the matriarch of our ministry from Hot Springs. And she said, and I repeat this all the time, I don't have time to get offended. I'm too busy loving people with the love of Jesus to be offended at any of them. And so if we will get to that place where we can forgive quickly and move on because we're too busy loving them, it will make a big difference in our life. My last important point is one of the most important lessons that I learned as a child, and it is a love for the church and how much I truly need it. I don't know exactly how my mom instilled this in me other than that she was heavily involved in so many areas of the church, and almost everything my mom does is full of fun. There's very little of the things that my mom does that's not fun. Discipline probably was the only thing that I can think of that wouldn't be. But I always, always have loved being at the church, and I can't remember a time when I didn't. We were always at church, and I always wanted to be there. And I'm so thankful that I got that put into me from a young age, because I owe a great deal of the woman I am today to my mother, but I also owe so much of who I am and who I have become to the body of Christ. The advice, guidance, correction, love, help, and encouragement I have received over the years from the body of Christ is too great to name. I could literally tell stories all night of conversations I've had or ways that people have served me or given to me generously. And that's why it's so important to me to sow back into what shaped me, because I see it doing the same for so many others. I am the fruit of the labor of those who have sowed and watered into my life. And in the natural realm, we see that fruit produces like kind. That fruit, for those of you that have sown into me, that fruit will produce more seed to be sown. Maybe these are things that you were also taught in your youth, and maybe they're not, but I'm hoping that you can give thanks with me for the wisdom that you have already received if you're older in this room. Or maybe as I'm talking, the Holy Spirit has brought to your remembrance some spiritual truths that you were taught as a child that you now get to walk in the blessings of. Or maybe you haven't even heard any of these things. And in that regard, I hope it's a challenge to you. But you have a decision to make in all of this. This is for young and old alike. It doesn't matter how well or how much you were taught if you don't apply it. I think about Isaac. Isaac's father was Abraham, a man who walked closely with God and most definitely talked to his son about him. But Isaac still had a choice to make. And he chose God and he chose to follow him. He learned from his father Abraham, but he had to make his own decision to follow God. My prayer for all of us tonight is that we can give thanks to God for truth taught through his word and by his people into our lives, and to take whatever steps are necessary to walk into new maturity. Let's walk out of childishness, of immaturity, and leave that behind, but take with us the truths we've learned and walk into new wisdom and new understanding.
Thank you for being a part of our podcast today. You will find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There is a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.